Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Hey folks, Roland Martin here. Welcome to our annual Hollywood edition right here on News One Now on TV One. Of course, we're here for the NAACP Image Awards airing tonight right here on this network. Red carpet, 8 p.m. Eastern. The show, 9 p.m. Eastern, of course, hosted by Anthony Anderson. So we look forward to a great night. But of course, we want to start, of course, we'll do a panel always in Washington, D.C. So what the heck, we'll do one here as well. And there's been so much discussion about Oscars So White, so much discussion about diversity in Hollywood. That's one of the issues we want to touch upon. So let's get right to it. Here's my panel. First up to my left, Natasha Eubanks, founder of the Young Black and Fabulous. You've seen her many times on our show. Natasha, good to see you.
Hello.
All right. We got Jennifer Horton, president of Matrix Artists. Jennifer, how you doing?
Hello. Great.
All right, then. And Paul Zahn, reporter with The Daily Dish on Bravo. What's happening?
How are you?
All right, then. So let's start off this way. I'm going to get to Oscars in a minute, but I want to start with Alicia Keys. And so here in Hollywood, you have many artists, whether they're in music or whether they're in television on the big screen, involved a lot of social causes. So Alicia Keys put out this extremely, I would say, flirtatious video targeting Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. So let's take a look, and then we'll talk about it. Roll it, Shelley.
Dear Paul. Can I call you Paul? I recently saw a picture of you working out, and I was like, I never saw the Speaker of the House working out before. He must be cool. Are you cool, Paul? Show me how cool you are. In fact, you can even maybe be my Valentine if you help me spread some love. Help bring justice reform to a vote so we can keep families together and reunite those that have been unjustly torn apart by excessive incarceration instead of just getting the help they needed. Can you do that, Paul? I know you can. I even wrote you a little Valentine from me to you, a little incentive. And I'm asking everybody to write one by going to wearehearmovement.com. So you're welcome in advance for the thousands of love notes that are coming your way. Okay, well, that's it. I think you're so special. And keep me posted about all our progress and how we can work together. Sincerely, Alicia Keys.
So, folks, that was a little suggestive. I would say a bit seductive.
Isn't
from
she
Alicia
married?
Keys.
Isn't she married?
I thought she was married.
I'm sure Swiss is like, hey.
We all know that doesn't matter to Alicia Keys, see? Marriage or not. It doesn't matter.
Shade. Okay, cut it out. But again, though, what I find interesting is for her to sit here and call on her fans to send these love notes, if you will, to the Speaker of the House saying, hey, guy, get it moving on criminal justice reform.
Yes. I think it's provocative. It has all elements to go viral. And I think it's a conversation that needs to be had, especially with the campaign coming up, the election, everything like that.
Right. I love that she's doing this. I think that it's one of those things where you want to appeal to a certain age demo. You want them to care about certain policies that are being enacted in the White House and in Congress and things like that. Why not use the girl that they listen to all the time? And she always stands for what's happening now and what's going on in social issues. It's perfect.
Jennifer, we had the wink, the kiss. Right. I mean, it was all kind of things happening in that video.
Definitely. But I will say, I think for a celebrity of her caliber, it's expected that she is using her platform to put things out there because, you know, they have such a influence, like she said, on the demographic. So I think it's a very effective way for her to use her brand.
And she's also someone, not a stranger to politics, has been involved before. I actually ran into her once in the East Wing of the White House after she met with the First Lady. And I do think it's important when you're an artist that, look, you have a platform.
Exactly.
Why not use it? And in this town, you see it all the time with folks getting involved in a variety of causes, whether it's George Clooney, what's happening in the Sudan, whether it's Don Cheadle in Rwanda, whether it's Michael J. Fox dealing with the issue of Parkinson's. I mean, so it's not like it doesn't happen before. But for her to sit here and do it this way, I found that to be what's a little bit more interesting.
Well, one thing I love is that there's a call to action. And I think one thing about the Twitter demographic is people think it's enough to just retweet or like. But she says, no, send something in. And it takes that extra step to say, show that you have a voice and actually contact this particular, in this case, you know, Paul Ryan. But it could be your local senator. It could be it impacts your community when you actually take a stand besides just being a commenter on social media.
So. Because, Paul, the deal with what's happening right now is Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, he's actually blocking it from happening in the Senate mm-hmm. right now. So this really is a needed push to say, Congress, we need y'all to get on your job, please.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we all know what changes their minds is tons of calls, tons of letters. That's what actually gets their attention. So I think it's a perfect, like she said, a perfect call to action.
Well, mm-hmm. in this case, I can't imagine what's going to happen when his office gets all those nice love notes.
Love notes.
Alicia, snail mail. Snail mail. I mean, who gets snail mail anymore besides Bill?
Absolutely.
She's
absolutely
used to the married man and flirting with them.
See?
Shady.
I thought we really.
She knows what she's doing.
But we're trying to deal with a serious issue here. Okay. Criminal justice reform. Right. And you keep trying to go back.
I'm just saying.
Gossip. See?
Yes. Right. See?
Sorry.
Trying to be a little bit more serious.
Sorry.
Here. Hold your hand out. No, don't turn your hand around.
She's doing a high five.
Y'all go ahead. All right, then. And so one of the issues that's been talked a lot about all across this town the last couple of weeks, the Oscars, the whitewash. All of a sudden, you see for two consecutive years, no minorities nominated. But I'm still stuck on this one thing, and I think Variety got it right when they put that cover out when they said shame on all of us. This to me is not just an Academy issue, because the way I was talking about this with Columbus Short, I've been saying this on my show for 2 weeks. The Oscars to me represents the end of the Hollywood process. After you do everything, you have the idea, you do the hiring, you do all the producing, all the back and forth, the marketing, the advertising. This is the end of the process where, okay, now let's celebrate the whole industry. The problem is the entire industry, whether from the studios to the talent agencies to the law firms, the accounting firms, for the industry that's supposed to be so-called liberal. Right. It's amazing how they look just like Silicon Valley or corporate America when it comes to not understanding diversity.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Halle Berry was at Makers Conference earlier this week, and she said she won an Oscar, and she thought that would open all these doors, and she would have so many opportunities. And she said after winning the Oscar, she didn't have opportunities. She didn't get the things that she hoped for that maybe a white actress would have. So it is a larger picture and a larger conversation.
Because the thing is that people don't quite understand is that, again, it's not like the Oscar nomination comes down to you getting in the movie.
Right.
But you got to get hired. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it has to, and so if you're a writer, it has to get option. If you're somebody who wants to direct or produce, it has to get finance. And so to simply only focus on the awards, I think people are ignoring the real issue, and that is the infrastructure of this industry.
One of the factors that I do notice that people aren't talking much about is people don't realize the big play that publicity and promotion comes into you running for an Oscar or you running for a SAG award. Why don't we also ask these actors, who are you hiring as your PR? Who are you hiring as your publicist?
I don't want to ask the actor, who are you hiring as your publicist? I want to ask the firms, who are you hiring in your firms?
Because I can tell you right now,
I've gone on movie junkets where the studios had to hire minority firms to service black media.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the studio had no idea. I literally went to one junket, and this young white female publicist, she had no idea who the hell I was.
Right.
And here I am, best friends with Gabrielle Union, Sherry Shepherd, and she's like, Gabrielle, coming in, well, this is Roland Martin.
Right.
He's with TV1, and Gabrielle's looking at her like, really? We've had dinner. But again, this is an infrastructure thing.
Absolutely. But a lot of times these actors do bring on, the black actors will go to a white publicist because they feel like, oh, they can put me in a more mainstream place.
I think it's about the opportunity. There aren't roles that are out there that large studio executives, a lot of who are on the Academy Awards committee, they don't want to make these films and they don't want to give these opportunities. So
it goes hand in hand.
They have the money and they have the vote within the Academy. So those two things combined are not giving the opportunity to smaller films made by black filmmakers and stuff like that.
But also, Jennifer, when you start looking at the system, and again, I sort of track it backwards. Just like if I look at a kid who was in a high school and they're not performing well academically, I then go, okay, what middle school did they go to? And though, what was the academic standard there? Then I go, what elementary school? It was a feeder system. We have feeder systems right. in education. Elementary, middle, high school. You have the exact same thing in Hollywood. It's a feeder system. The talent agencies feed studios. Studios are where decisions are made, distribution, when it comes to hiring, green lighting, things along those lines. When Spike Lee stands up and says that a black man has a better shot of becoming president of the United States than becoming head of a Hollywood studio, that to me is a problem.
Well, one thing I can say is looking at the music business as an interesting parallel, you know, I think that this year is really interesting for the Grammys that right around 50% of the nominees are from independent labels. And I think that the film industry just hasn't really hit that stride yet where independent studios and independent filmmakers are able to get to the same end game that the major studios are. And we saw that years back with the record industry, and now we're seeing a change. So I think, you know, there could be hope around the corner as people are able to break the mold in the film industry.
I think though the film industry represents America, because we could literally have this exact same discussion, and we've had on this show, talking about Hollywood as we do about Silicon Valley. And whether Silicon Valley, we could talk about it, whether or not it's finance, and then we could talk about hedge funds. I mean, we can literally go around. It is a story of America where literally if you are black and you're Hispanic, you have been frozen out of industries, and then you're frozen out of the opportunity to grow and build and create wealth. And then you have a handful of people who pretty much are the deciders and who have made a conscientious decision that, you know what, we're going to keep it like this.
Well, for next year's Oscars, I'm reading that there are about 17 films that are up for discussion that could have black actors up for certain roles for Oscars. That's what we're hearing. So it'll be very interesting to see actually who gets targeted in those 17 films and if people are actually paying attention. People need to pay attention to who's out there. It's not that the black fabulous actors aren't out there. They're not being paid attention to.
But here's the deal.
Why is that?
Here's the deal. If you have half of the nominees next year who are black, to me, that's still not the problem. You still, if you do not deal with the infrastructure
mm-hmm.
you're going to have another year like this year and last year. You have another year.
Right. I think things are changing a little in the sense that, you know, Sundance just happened. The Birth of a Nation was mm-hmm. purchased by Fox Searchlight for $17.5 million, which is a great start.
Right.
So I think the wheels are starting to move slowly and very late. But the hope is that things are going to be changing a little bit.
But do you think, though, I mean, you think that an external group has to be the one that applies the pressure. So the National Urban League, Sharpton's Group, National Action Network, National Coalition of Black Civic Participation, they've sent a letter saying they want to meet with the Academy and the studios. The only way to me it changes is what Frederick Douglass says, agitate, agitate, agitate. Power, because he's nothing without a demand. External groups are going to have to apply pressure and say, look, if y'all don't change, don't let us all of a sudden throw pickets at movie theaters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's on your opening weekend.
Right.
I mean, to get folks' attention in America, you hit them with the money,
right.
then all of a sudden they pay attention.
Right. Well, going to Natasha's point, though, about lobbying, I think that it does, you know, that's a huge factor, not only from an outside group, but even internally. You're talking about the infrastructure of agents, publicists, managers. I mean, we
also
essentially...
Media. Also, the industry that covers Hollywood
right.
looks just like Hollywood.
Right.
But a lot of these people do not come to black media, I would know this, to promote themselves and to promote their films and their projects. So, like, it'll be interesting to see, will Nate Parker, who wrote and directed and starred and everything, will he come to
yes.
sites like yes.
the YBS.com
and TV1 to promote?
No, the reason I can tell you yes, because...
I hope Nate, so.
No, no,
he
not hope.
So.
I'm trying to tell you.
Okay,
because I've already talked to him.
And we've talked to him, too.
No. What I'm saying is, when Nate was trying to make this film,
right.
we were
right.
having the conversation.
Absolutely.
Nate has made it perfectly clear to Fox Searchlight
mm-hmm.
that we are going to build relationships with African-American media, with other minority media. He said this is not going to be like
and
a traditional movie.
That's what movement. We need more
yeah.
of. That's the example right there.
Right, but he's still a filmmaker. What we need more of is somebody sitting in an executive position
to put
who
those
says,
people into the,
no,
right.
we don't need Nate to have to tell us that. We're going to actually do it ourselves.
To put those people in those positions, absolutely.
All right, folks. We'll certainly appreciate it. We'll see what happens. Thank you so very much for a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks a bunch. And then when Alicia Keys come after you, we going to say, look, we had nothing to do with it.
Right.
I said
that was
it.
On her.
Innocent bystander.
Yes,
literally.
That's right.
I don't know her.
Yeah, we don't know her. All right, folks. We come back. We have headlines right here on the show. And, of course, we got some other great stuff from Los Angeles. You do not want to miss it. Don't touch that dial. Keep it locked right here. News 1 Now, TV 1. We'll be keeping straight black all day, every day.
Wherever you are, We are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
It's been a deadly start to the year for people in Chicago. In the month of January, there were 51 homicides in the nation's third largest city. That's the highest toll for the month in 16 years. Last year, there were 29 murders in January. In 2014, there were 20. Police blame the spike in homicides on gang conflicts and retaliation violence. The rise in homicides comes as the Chicago Police Department is under more scrutiny for the Laquan McDonald shooting and an investigation by the Department of Justice. But police officials are pushing back against the idea that officers are becoming less aggressive because of the recent negative attention on the force. Police officials have assigned 350 police officers to monitor the communities hardest hit by the homicides. The University of Connecticut is coming under fire for designating a section of a new dorm for black male students. According to the school, the Scholars House is supposed to be a dorm designed to give black male students social and emotional support, access to research opportunities, and professional development. An assistant professor behind the effort says UConn's graduation rate is 82%, but for African American students, it's just 54%. Black students can voluntarily apply to live at the dorm, but it's not a requirement. The Scholars House will be housed inside a 200,000 square foot dorm. The entire dormitory will house almost 700 students. Google is helping people living in public housing get free access to the internet. Cities that offer Google Fiber qualify for the free internet. The company is starting with a property in Kansas City. Google wired 100 homes with fiber. The goal is to connect up to 9 properties, reaching more than 1,300 families in the metro area. Google is also partnering with local organizations to help purchase discounted devices and teach computer classes. Folks, Toyota must fork over $21.9 million to black and Asians who paid more for car loans than whites. The Los Angeles Times reports Toyota was adding extra interest to loans for blacks and Asians. The Department of Justice says Toyota new dealerships were adding the extra interest, but did nothing to put an end to the practice until the investigation began in 2013. Now Toyota must pay about $20 million in restitution for those who borrowed the money and also who took out loans between January 2011 and February 2016. Toyota plans to put another $2 million to the side to compensate new borrowers who may have been subject to the deceptive loan practices. Toyota now plans to limit the amount of additional interest dealerships can tack on. All right, folks, up next, we have more great interviews here from our Hollywood show in Los Angeles. We'll be chatting with director Bill Duke, also Brad James, and we'll talk with an author who says all you have to do is change your eating habits and not even really work out to drop those pounds. All that right here on News One Now on TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now right here on TV One. We are in Los Angeles, and so much attention, of course, has been focused on the Academy Awards, hashtag Oscars so white. But what we have been emphasizing on this show is not who is going to get acting nominations, but really the entire industry. Many folks, if they saw the cover of Variety magazine, it said, shame on us. But they really said the entire industry has to be held accountable. And my next guest is someone who understands that, not just what happens in front of the camera, but what happens behind the camera, not just when it comes to directing or producing, but also when it comes to distribution, when it comes to financing, all of the other pieces that really make a movie possible. So joining us right now, welcome back to News One Now, Bill Duke. Bill, how you doing, bro?
Good to see you, my friend. Thank you for having me.
This is the thing that has been very interesting as I've watched all this coverage. Everybody is, they spend so much time focused on, well, you didn't get individuals nominated in the acting categories. But what people don't realize is you watch the Academy Awards, there's sound mixing, there's costume design, you have a soundtrack. I mean, you have so many other areas mm-hmm. that constitute a movie. And the real issue that I keep saying, it's not the movie, it's the infrastructure, it's the system, it's the talent agencies, the law firms, the accounting firms, the studios. That's really where the fundamental problem is in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you look at the at it statistically. Just in terms of the numbers of movies that are made annually, for example. And right now the research says approximately between 550 and 600 movies are made a year. In terms of minority themed out of that, if you're lucky, six or seven. So if you increase the number in terms of people in front of the camera and behind the camera, and the numbers of movies that are made related to that in terms of our ethnicity, our culture, and women also, etc., right? Most people, if they had a choice between an Oscar and employment, I think they would take employment.
Right. A check is a check. And the thing that people, again, what I have been trying to get folks to understand is that when you talk about, even because some will say, well, look, well, just go write a movie. Okay. There's a lot of folks out there who have written movies.
That's right.
The question is, will it get picked up? Will it get optioned? Will you get paid for it? Mm-hmm. Somebody has to make that decision. Somebody has to green light even the purchase of the script. And then it's a whole different deal whether or not the movie even gets made. That's still another decision being made.
I think you're right on the money, I think, and no pun intended. basically, the roles in terms of decision making, in terms of green lighting films, directors, producers, writers, those categories should be increased in terms of female and minority participation. Right now, in terms of really green lighting a film, I don't know anybody of minority that can really green light a film. But the fact of the matter is that we can focus on that a little more.
Right.
I'm not saying the Oscars are irrelevant, because it would be good to be recognized. But you have to have a job before you get that recognition.
Well, or as I've tried to say, I say the Oscars is the end of this process.
That's exactly right.
So it's sort of, this is the culmination of all of these decisions,
yes,
because this is the most high profile industry event. And so, but it's a lot of stuff that happens and leads up to even making that movie. And so my point is, so forget when nobody got nominated. As I was saying, if nobody gets the job, if nobody's ever hired, if you never get an opportunity to be a cinematographer or to be a first assistant director or whatever, forget even getting nominated at directing your own film one day.
Well, I think you're hitting it, because more attention needs to be paid to that specific area. And until that occurs, that ratio of 600 to 7 or 8 is not going to change. And so my hope and prayer is that there is some collaboration. I'm not quite sure how to solve it totally, but we need to focus as a community in terms of the numbers of movies that are made per year that we are participating in.
Do you think that it, first of all, you have a National Urban League, National Action Network, National Coalition of Black Civic Participation, they've sent a letter saying they want to meet with various studios and others about this issue. I believe the only way it changes is you have to have external forces who don't have a personal interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we know how the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll give you a deal. Well, I'm not trying to get a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make sure that the 10 of them get deals.
Yes.
And so I think having that external force, it's the same thing. I'm seeing all of these women talk. I've seen Jennifer Lawrence and others talk about gender inequality. And I'm going, all right, now, where in the hell are you? Martha Burke was protesting at Augusta National.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
External forces have to then come in, meet with this system, and begin to say, if you don't change something, then we're going to apply another level of pressure to you
mm-hmm.
that's going to get your attention. Reach those folks who are veterans, who've been in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always good to start a program at the bottom. But you got folks who are sitting there going, yo, I've been doing this thing 20, 30 years.
That's right.
Can I eat now?
That's right.
So I want to do with that, but also what you're trying to do to get young folks prepared, not just for media aspect, but the business
piece. The business.
Because you can have a movie idea.
That's
you can
right.
write the script, but if you don't understand budgeting, you don't understand all those different pieces, baby, you're not going to be successful.
It's called show business. It should be called business show. And the thing is, you can't be playing checkers in a chess game. And we are playing checkers in a chess game. We want to be in front of the camera. But the camera has changed even. We're talking about a game called Grand Theft Auto last year made $1 billion in three companies. My concern is our young people cannot make an informed decision if they don't have the information to make it with.
As the movie in the movie Hoodlum, what Lawrence Fishburne say, when you don't know, you don't know.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. And so what I've done, I've started the Duke Media Foundation, and what we teach is young people from the age of 14 to 18 two fundamental things. Media literacy, which is these transformation and the paradigm shift from film and TV to media, cell phone apps, games, virtual reality, etc. Not only in front, but all those jobs of coding and art, etc., like you so well put it, behind that, what are those jobs? In Silicon Valley, Mrs. Powell's case came out, and she pointed to the fact that 85% of the employees in Silicon Valley are either white males or Asian males, and women and minorities put together 15%. That should change. And so, as you know, also Jesse Jackson now is over at Google trying to make some things happen.
Oh, pushing Google, Intel, Apple, Twitter, all of these companies.
That's right.
Again, an external force applying pressure to change things internally.
Exactly. And if people want to come to my foundation, go to Duke Media, the DukeMediaFoundation.org, and you can have an application. And the classes start March 19th through February 20th. And so we're looking for young people who have an interest in this business, not only in terms of in front of the camera, but who want to know how this business runs. In terms of the financial literacy, we are taught how to spend money, but not how to use it. And we teach our children what is debt, what is credit, what is the FDIC, what's the Federal Reserve, what is the stock market, what is a credit card, what is compound interest. So that, you know, when they get the money, they don't just spend it, they use it. So that they are able to stay in the business longer, because the business, as you know, and when you're here and you're not working, you got to have something to sustain you.
That's right.
And so you can't throw the money away.
All right. Well, Bill, look, good luck with that. We certainly appreciate all the years that you've been in the business trying to get folks to understand that, yeah, it's business show.
It's business show.
Not show business.
That's exactly right.
All right. Appreciate
God bless you always, man.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now here in Pasadena, California, site of the 47th annual NAACP Image Awards. Many of us here waiting for the award show were stunned when we got the news of the passing of Maurice White. He passed early Thursday morning in his sleep at the age of 74. He had battled Parkinson's disease since 1992, and he stopped touring with Earth, Wind & Fire in 1995. Of course, he was a true musical legend. His brother, Verdeen White, posted this on the group's Facebook page. It said, quote, "My brother, hero, and best friend, Maurice White, passed away peacefully last night in his sleep. While the world has lost another great musician and legend, our family asks that our privacy is respected as we start what will be a very difficult and life-changing transition in our lives. Thank you for your prayers and well wishes. Yours truly, Verdeen White." And we talked to many folks here at the pre-award show for the NAACP Image Awards who shared their thoughts and reflections about the musical icon, Maurice White. Maurice White, your thoughts about the amazing single with Earth, Wind & Fire.
You know what, man? Anytime that you can touch people through your music and you can inspire people in various different generations, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, that's a beautiful thing. He lived a blessed life, and luckily we got a chance to live and see that beautiful essence of that person in this particular dimension in time.
Your thoughts about the passing of the great Maurice White.
Wow, I was in the hotel room tonight, and I kept seeing all his pictures. I was getting ready, and I kept seeing all his pictures, and I was like, oh, is it his birthday or something? And I said, he passed. I said, oh my gosh, it's 74. I mean, I started singing Hearts of Fire, you know, I was going back in the day to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I remember when they said he had Parkinson's and he stopped touring. Maurice White is amazing, was amazing. I mean, he gave us music that's timeless. I mean, he was in our hearts. He's still in our hearts. And I mean, my heart breaks for his family. You know, may he rest in peace.
I got to get your thoughts on the passing of a Chicago legend, Maurice White.
Yes, indeed. One of the great musical geniuses of our time, the creation of Earth, Wind & Fire, a Chicago institution. And so we're lifting up the family in prayer, but they have created a catalog of music that will go on for years.
It's the end of an era. I mean, it's nothing you can say. He reinvented the game. Just driving over, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to preach Sunday. The reason why we're here. I mean, I'm just at a moment of pause. No auto tunes, just pure gift and talent.
Oh, it's a great loss. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I love that voice that Maurice White has. So we are at the NAACP extending our condolence to his family and to the music industry, because one of the greatest legends, we've lost another one.
Wow, you just told me that. I've been buried all day in work, haven't seen a computer at all. Wow, I got that actually hits home, because the first thing I thought of when you said that was my parents in the living room listening to Maurice White, like that voice. I'm at a loss for words. I'm literally just hearing about this, and I feel a little ignorant because I was buried in work today. But wow, it just makes me think of my parents and how that impacted my life, how that music impacted my life, how his voice impacts my life. And I need the time to little digest that a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I mean, Maurice White and Earth, Wind & Fire are so much more than unsung. I mean, they're really one of the great legendary pioneers and groundbreakers in popular music and in R&B for the last 50 years. So I'd known that he'd been ill for some time, but it was just when a giant leaves our ground, it trembles a little, and that's, I think, how I feel about it.
Well, we were just talking about it. I had a conversation with D'Angela. We were talking about it at lunch the other day about whether we did Earth, Wind, and Fire. And because on one level, they're not at all unsung. But on the other hand, what's great about what we're able to do is introduce legendary artists to a new audience. And for anybody who hasn't had a chance to appreciate Earth, Wind, and Fire, it's an incredible loss. But hopefully this gets him back and reopens it to another generation.
He's a legend, and they inspired so many writers. I think every person, since their music has come out, has been inspired by what they did. They set the blueprint, and you hear their music on commercials, on the radio. It's just life music, and they contributed something amazing to us, and they'll forever be missed. He'll forever be missed.
You know what? I just met him at Pitbull's New Year's Eve special, and I was talking to him and Verdeen, and they were incredible. So, I mean, truly. I mean, come on, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I would have no falsetto if it wasn't for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Come on now. So he's a legend, and he'll be missed. And we're losing some great ones, but God, they will always be with us. They will always be. I will never forget the great Maurice White, ever, ever.
It seems like a lot of our icons are passing away, and it helps us to remember to always keep creativity at the forefront and always give God glory for the talent that we're all blessed to have.
We lost a great icon. We know you a great lover of jazz. Just your thoughts about the great Maurice White.
Well, Maurice really entertained and inspired a lot of people, and we'll miss him.
I got to get your thoughts on the passing of a musical icon in Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire.
You know what? I am so out of touch with TV and with, the media sometimes that I'm just not aware. I was not aware.
He passed this morning, 74 years old. Of course, he had suffered Parkinson's disease since 1994 and passed away in his sleep this morning here in L.A.
I didn't know that. I just know that his contribution to the music scene is so... It's so massive. I mean, his music transcends color, it transcends culture, it transcends time. The music is still relevant. You still hear it everywhere you go. I think that your life is well lived when you can leave a contribution. When you're gone, people can still feel you, experience you, and be proud that they had an opportunity, not maybe to know you personally, but to know you through your work. And if you can live your life and leave with that legacy, I think you've lived well. So I say, have hats off to him. God be with his family. But he lived and he made his life count. He made his life count. And I'll probably be listening to him tomorrow or tonight or in the morning because he got that good, good, good music. So I'm just grateful for his contribution to the world.
I got to get your thoughts about the passing of a Chicago legend, Maurice White, Earth, Wind & Fire.
Well, in terms of Maurice White, we know he was a great musician, but I'm a writer. You know, I co-wrote Glory, I co-wrote Jesus Walks, all these songs. As a writer, he was a phenomenon. And I think we don't always give the writers as much credit as we give the musicians. And when you, like Maurice White, you get it both in one, you have a true genius. And hopefully what I pray is that that energy is amongst our musicians today and they begin to write the songs that mean something to people again.
When I was interviewing Verdeen White and Ralph Johnson on TV One, they said that based upon a study, Earth, Wind & Fire's music plays every 1 minute and 38 seconds around the world. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's in my car right now. Like before I even heard the news that Maurice White had passed, I was playing Reasons on the way, like, you know, on the way over here. So, again, you know, he wrote songs that were the theme songs to the lives of people, of human beings. You know when you got your first car, when you was playing the shining star, riding around in the first car you ever had. You know when you fell in love and Reasons was playing. You know when that family reunion, you know, happened and that Earth, Wind & Fire song was playing. So those songs were theme songs to our lives.
You know, we all have to go sometime, which is the sad part. But in this case, the legacy that's left behind in terms of the amount of music that he created and was a part of makes him live on and on and on forever. So long live Maurice White. May he live forever.
As I said, Maurice White was 74 years old and certainly will be missed. Coming up next on News One Now, we'll talk with actor Brad James about the show that he's doing on OWN, plus what it means to begin to produce your own work. All of that next on News One Now from the 47th Annual NAACP Image Awards.
Start your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Welcome back to News One Now here in Los Angeles, where we are here, of course, for the NAACP Image Awards airing Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. My next guest, folks, he has been in all kind of stuff. First of all, the brother was in Lisa Ray's movie right here on TV One, Skinned. You also, have, of course, saw him for Better or Worse on OWN. He's also in the movie The Choice. Ain't nothing like a black man working in Hollywood. Brad James, welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
Hey, glad to be here.
All right, then. So I get a text from Nori Victoria, who tells me, hey, hold on. I hear my boy Brad is going to be on your show. I swear, every movie I've done, he's been in the movie. And she said he played my husband in the film we just shot in Chicago. Uh-huh. We're always working together. See, black people do shout outs. So you know, I think she just wanted a shout out. I think she wanted to be included in the show.
Absolutely.
So that's why she did it.
Absolutely. You know, we post the picture up there right next to it. You know, we just had the premiere for this great movie last night, The Choice, a Nicholas Sparks film. For those that don't know who Nicholas Sparks is, he's the author of The Notebook and 17 other bestsellers. So to see us up there in a position where we haven't been before, it hadn't been black people in a supporting role in one of his movies before, it was phenomenal. He tells great love stories, and to work with Nori is always a treat.
Yeah, as if black folks don't fall in love. I mean, we do fall in love.
We fall in love. Not usually at Wilmington, North Carolina, where they set the movies, but it was great. Yeah.
We from the Carolinas.
That's true. I got a little family from up there. I was up there when I was in the Marines years ago, actually. Yeah.
What is it, first of all, you look at these, you talk about The Choice, you talk about the show that's on OWN. I mean, you're dealing with different types of stories, also for different mediums. Mm-hmm. Do you like being able to show the range and to do different things?
That's always as actors, that's what we look for. We look to be able to establish a career and obviously have a long-running career. But the other thing that we want to do is we want to show everything that we come into this business to do. We're artists at our core. So we want to show all of our artistry. And for me, I haven't gotten anywhere near that yet. You know, I get to play comedy with Tyler and Oprah, right, on that network. And then, you know, you get to play a love interest in these other things. But really, my passion is action. So, you know, in the films that I'm producing this fall, it's gonna be action.
Now, when you say producing, why did you want to produce your own stuff?
Because it needs to get made, and if you sit around waiting on somebody else to do it, it may or may not happen.
Yeah. Talk about that process, because we talk a lot about it on this show. You got the whole issue, Oscar so white, people heavily criticizing that. But you've always had folks who are African American who were doing their own thing, but the issue still then becomes financing, distribution.
You know, if there's something that that I consider myself, it's a sponge. So being that I've worked with Tyler for the last 6 years, if I hadn't picked up how to do your own thing by now, I'm not going to learn it.
Right.
You know, because he's someone who, regardless of what anybody thinks about him, he's carved out his path and he's shown you how to do it. So, you know, it's a phenomenal learning environment. For me, when it comes to making your own stuff, making your own work, it's important. If we don't do it, no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to hear our voices. If we're waiting on Hollywood, the people who run Hollywood to make the stuff for us, they're going to make what they're interested in.
And what they're interested in, frankly, comes from their backgrounds, which is strange, because when you see movies that's about us, not like they don't make money. And it is stunning to me when I can watch the 18th Jennifer Aniston romantic comedy fail, and then who was the child who was Izzy on Grey's Anatomy, whatever her name is, same thing. But if there's one black romantic comedy fail, oh my God, that's it. Yeah. Can't do another one ever again.
Yeah. No, but again, they're going to make what they're interested in. We need to make what we're interested in at the same time. The only issue that I personally would have is when they make historical movies that we know have people of color in it and we're not included. That's when I have
it's
an
like
issue.
It's like one of the Egypt films or whatever.
Any of the Egyptian films.
As if we didn't exist. I'm like, really? Really? So
As if we didn't know, as if we're in that same age and time when we didn't know any better, or when there wasn't an internet. You know, we know. You can look it
like,
up.
You do know there were black people, and you also know that Egypt is actually a continent of Africa.
You see the old Ten Commandments, it's like, okay, I understand the time it was, but when it happens again, generations later, and what happens is people are lazy sometimes. We like to get our research from what we see given to us in the form of entertainment.
His story versus history.
So when you see it and when you hear it, you know, you're hearing it through those eyes. That's your example. For people who grew up in my era, Denzel was more Malcolm X than Malcolm X was, because that was our first really introduction to Malcolm X. So we saw more images of him as Malcolm X than the actual Malcolm X. And you got to go back and do even more research. So putting something in someone's face and illustrating it in a way that is entertainment and educational is powerful.
Well, so that's why I explain to folks all the time, images matter, because this literally is what we are exporting to the rest of the world. When the movie comes out, when they say it opened in China, it opened in the UK, it opened in Ireland, in Japan, that's the rest of the world. And so it was also interesting, I was reading the book, An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood, which was an award-winning book, that they created what we know as the American dream. It didn't exist. Hollywood created it. And what they created then became the American dream. So folks like, I want to live the American dream, which really was a creation of Hollywood.
It's supply and demand. It's the oldest trick of sales. You know, it's the way it works. You create a demand and then you give the supply. So that's what they
do. So what other stories do you want to tell? So what you're producing this fall, what's the range of stories? Ideas.
You know, it's some of everything. You know, I love to cover historical events. Anything that's fast paced, high action, that get your blood running, because we do more than drug deals and recreate slavery. We do more than that. We expand beyond that, and you know, just as people, but I think we need to see ourselves do that too. We can do more than just make you laugh. You know, we can make you cry, and we can take you on an adventure, and that's what we want to do.
Ownership, I mean, obviously, is critically important, because at the end of the day, if you don't control that process, that's one of the things that for Tyler Perry, I mean, a lot of people forget he had a development deal with ABC, when they told him, like, you know what, you might want to tone down how many times you say Jesus. And that's when he said, you know what, I'm out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other people would have been just so happy having a development deal and producing a sitcom for ABC. Mm-hmm. But he literally said, if I can't be true to myself, you know what? I got to bounce.
Yeah, yeah. And know yourself and you'll find your audience. Yeah, absolutely. He knew what he was looking for, and he knew what his audience was looking for. You know, he's feeling a need. And that's what we need to do. We need to fill a need. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of gaps in there. And you know, the power's back in our hands. You know, that we have the technology, we have the know-how, we have talented people, and it just needs to be seen.
All right, then. Well, we need to take a break, pay some bills. Brad, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so very much.
Yes,
good luck with television, film, all that good stuff.
Your choice, for better or worse, Sons to the Grave, all that.
All of it. All right, then. Appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Folks, we'll be right back from Los Angeles, right here, News One Now.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Folks, earlier you heard from Joe Morton share his thoughts about the passing of Maurice White. And I had Joe do something else when I talked to him a few months ago. Joe posted this poem called N-Word and the Black Sculpture. And I wanted him, and I saw it, I tweeted it out, it was phenomenal, because we were having a discussion on Twitter about the N-Word, and you know how I feel about that. So I wanted Joe to read it. And so when we sat down with him, got a chance for him to actually do it. So check this out. This is Joe Morton, a poem that he wrote on the N-Word.
The N-word has been burned into the psyche of black folk in this country, not unlike the numbers branded on the bodies of living Jews in concentration camps. And its stigma is equally as indelible. If I were a sculptor, I would create a memorial to all those who have suffered from its poisonous and debilitating effects. I would construct the word out of deeply scarred and rusted steel to symbolize its onerous antiquity and unfortunate endurance. I would make the letters as tall as the average person to suggest that human beings, not animals, were demeaned by this word. I would overlay the tarnished metal with clumps of thick black paint, let them dry, and pick at them, leaving deep wounds to emphasize the African culture that was debased, cut away, and left to decay. I would inlay the ulcerated steel with hair, segments of human bone, and dog's teeth to recall the outrageous violence with which the protesters marching under the banner of civil rights were met. I would take flesh-like fragments of the American flag and embed them in the corners of the word to represent the lacerated tissue of American democracy. I would dot the I with the eye of Providence as seen on the back of our $1 bill, but with a cataract to remind us that this word, as connected to slavery and blinded by religion, was all about profit and oppression. I would put at the end of the word an exclamation point made of whips coiled together and dotted with a cannonball to recall the Civil War and the end of slavery. I would stain the word with blood, the blood shed by freedom fighters everywhere, and bury the entire construct in barren ground so one could stand over it and read it, and to illustrate that wherever this word is planted, nothing grows.
I told y'all that was absolutely phenomenal. So I certainly appreciate Joe Morton doing that for us. Folks, that is it for us on today. Don't forget, on Monday's show, we'll have a full recap of the Image Awards, all the sights and sounds. We'll see what kind of craziness Anthony Anderson comes up with tonight. I'm sure Oscar might come up. Also, Nurse Alice Benjamin will be on the show talking about her book, Curb Your Cravings. She lost 65 pounds changing her diet, barely exercising, and she says you can do it as well. And don't forget, the Image Awards airs tonight on TV One at 9 p.m. Eastern. The red carpet begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, so we'll see you there. Folks, be sure to have a great weekend. I'll see you. Holla!
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.